This is episode one with Daniel and Rachel Whanguina from the Polynesian Project. Welcome to Success Story Conversations. My name is Sione Whanguina, former professional athlete turned solopreneur, and each week we'll bring you an inspiring story from people who achieved success and help you discover and unlock your success story. Really appreciate you tuning in, so let the story begin. What is up, my friends? It's such an honor to have you here for my very first podcast, episode one of Success Story Conversations. My first guest is someone I know very well. My brother Daniel and his wife Rachel are the co-creators and founders of the Polynesian Project, designed to assist Polynesians in living a healthier lifestyle by providing an online program with a huge emphasis on mindset. In today's episode, Daniel and Rachel, who between them have over 10 years of personal training experience, will be sharing the vision behind the project, the importance of mindset when starting a fitness journey, and how to create long-lasting results and smashing some limiting beliefs Polynesian people have around food. All right, my friends, let's dive into this one. Family first, the story behind the Polynesian Project. Let's get started. I guess, give everyone a snapshot of your background, 30 seconds each, and starting with you, Daniel.
Yeah, cool. Born and raised Auckland, New Zealand. Grew up there till about the age of 14, and we moved over to Brizzy and been in Oz, for the last 13 years. Met Rach about 8 years ago, got married last year, and based in Sydney now.
Awesome. Thank you very much. And Rach?
I'm born and raised in Australia, so born in Melbourne and then lived up in Brisbane for most of my life. Moved to Hawaii after school and lived a couple of years there, and then moved back and met Dan, so that was about 8 years ago, like Dan said. And now we're down in Sydney.
All right, so you both used to live up here in Brisbane, but now I guess applying the trade down there in Sydney. Since we're on that topic, you've both been involved in the fitness industry for a number of years now. Can you just let our viewers know sort of how you actually got into being, personal trainers and being involved in that fitness environment?
Yeah, so when I was living in Hawaii, I started, I started my course there and then moved back to Australia to finish it. But I guess all through high school and stuff, I'd always been involved in sports and been pretty active. And I guess that was kind of the journey I decided to choose. I did a lot of dancing over in Hawaii. And I think, long story short, basically we just wanted to help out our family, just seeing them not being as active as they could be and looking for some way to change but not really knowing how to change. So I thought, you know, why not figure it out yourself, use something that I enjoy like fitness and figure out how to help people out myself. I would always watch like the Biggest Loser shows and always want to be the kind of person that could help people out. So, yeah. Decided to move back to Australia and study, and then just got into it from there. That's my story.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah. And Daniel?
Yeah, cool. So I jumped in, almost 7 years ago now, on and off for the first 2 years. I pretty much started for my own training. I don't know if you remember this, bro, but when we were living in Northgate and we did that Redcliffe preseason, my goal was literally to be the fittest person at preseason. So I wrote up this little training plan. And it was a little gym around the corner from us, which, you know, one of my good friends now, Kim Griffin, was owning. So initially I got in just to, you know, get boxing conditioning up so I could be really good for, the league preseason, which I was. You know, I became one of the fittest people there. So that kind of why I kind of got into it was it really gave me a lot of good things as well. But then also I wanted to start doing that with other people as well. And through doing that with Kim, she actually offered me a job. So within the first couple of months of me doing it and really transforming my own fitness levels and all that kind of stuff, that's kind of ideally, that's how I got into the fitness industry from there all those years ago now. So, that's kind of how I got into it.
Okay, awesome. Thanks for sharing that, guys. I guess I'm just going to touch on that while you've brought it up there, because, you know, a lot of my followers are all league enthusiasts. So one thing that I wanted to ask, because I remember I was doing that preseason with you at Redcliffe, and yes, you were the fittest.
mentally, how did you push yourself during those grueling preseason, I guess, training sessions? They were tough, those league sessions that we had back in the preseason. And, you know, what goes through your mind when you're doing those 2 kilometer runs, when you're doing 50, 100 meters? Like, how do you mentally prepare for that?
Yeah, like, it's funny because I haven't really thought about that kind of stuff until the last couple of months. But looking back on it now, because, you know, I'm a really introverted person and so is Rach. So a lot of the strength, you know, for me is doing things on my own. So the goal of me training before I went to league preseason was get in the best shape that I've ever been in so that preseason would be easy, if that kind of makes sense. So all those times when I was by myself, like, that was the mental training that I'd always do for myself. And then, you know, once it got to league preseason, was kind of like the first test. You know, I remember the first couple of weeks, I was kind of like, and it sounds a bit cocky, but I was kind of like, is this it? Like, you know, because I'd really prepared myself, you know, beforehand to set myself up for the preseason. And that really kind of became, to be honest, I was a bit inspired by you, bro, to be quite honest. only because always growing up, I never saw that you were the fittest at the Warriors, but hearing all the boys say that was like your forte, was kind of like, you know, I wanted to be, you know, you always want to be like your older brother. That became my forte, and everywhere I went, I made sure that I was the fittest. Yeah. You know, I made sure I worked the hardest and all that kind of stuff. So, sorry, going a bit off track there, but getting back to the mental toughness side of things, you know, doing it by myself and pushing myself harder than I believed anyone else could push me would make it easier for, you know, when I did, you know, do it at pre-seasons or in a group setting and all that kind of stuff. So I kept practicing that on my own, and it became, you know, a bit like a habit.
Yeah, no, that's cool. And I just brought that up because you touched on it. So, but I guess one of the main questions that I wanted to ask was around your latest venture, the Polynesian Project. Do you mind sharing that with our viewers, sort of what inspired both of you to come up with the initiative and I guess the purpose or the meaning behind it?
Yeah, cool. I guess it all kind of links into why we actually got into the fitness industry at the very start. You know, we grew up with we're Samoans ourselves. We grew up with Polynesians.
Yes, I'm Samoan.
She's a bit pale, but she is Samoan. We grew up with Polynesians in Auckland, and, you know, we always come over to Oz to kind of see family and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, you grow up just seeing obese, overweight Polynesian people, you know, and it's not until you kind of get a bit older that you really see the things that were holding them back, you know, that they weren't able to do growing up, you know. And I won't go into detail who, but like just family members in general, it was really hard seeing, especially when we got into the fitness industry, it was really hard to kind of see them still going through all those struggles and still, you know, living that kind of way of life, either by choice or just they just didn't know another way. So with this initiative, we wanted to create that pathway for our Polynesian people, you know, so that they could have a way that they could, you know, I guess see health and fitness in a different light, because, you know, the way it's gone in the last, you know, 10 years and the way it is still going, it's getting worse. And, you know, we wanted to really step up and make that change for our people. And that's why we created the Polynesian Project.
Yeah. Awesome. Rach?
Yeah. Yeah. That was a pretty good explanation. I think... So there's a bit of a stereotype when it comes to islanders that I don't think I personally saw that when you go to the islands, well, maybe not so much now that the Western culture is kind of infused into Polynesian culture, but beforehand, islanders, I think, are full of life and active people and we eat like food from the land and stuff. So to see that it's kind of changed and we're now seeing ourselves differently and we're using excuses that because we're islanders, we can, you know, be this way, I think that for me is something that I'm, yeah, want to be a part of changing and just reverting it back to how, I guess, how we're supposed to be and how we were made to be and how we can have our best life, you know, not just succumbing to the kind of stereotypes that people expect you to be, you know. You see so many islanders playing footy and playing all sorts of sports. Like, we are very talented people, so I'd hate to see that go to waste just because of a, you know, laziness or not being educated on what's the right thing to do. So, yeah, we wanted to figure out how we could help in some way.
awesome. And it's funny, you touched on it just then, Rach, about, I guess, the stereotype with Pacific Islanders, but mainly with our own culture within amongst each other.
Yeah.
How important is it to, I guess, have the right mindset when achieving fitness goals, but at the same time, being Pacific Islander, how much do cultural beliefs play a part in that and limiting, I guess, you know, what we are as Pacific Islander people are capable of doing?
Yeah, cool. So mindset, that's the biggest thing that we educate our Polynesian people on. You know, it's something that we're really passionate about changing, because as everyone knows, it all does start with the mindset. So, you know, when it comes to trying to make a change, if we all grew up a certain way, so, you know, for example, we grew up hearing these certain beliefs, you know, make sure you eat until you're full, make sure you don't waste any food because there's kids in Africa starving, make sure that, you know, when you go to your family, when you go to your family guanglanis or family lunches, everything revolves around food. And we all grew up seeing that. So if you try and, you know, I guess change it by exercising more, but you haven't really fixed the whole, you know, change the belief system, you know, and the mindset towards that way of thinking, the changes that people have already tried to make already, they don't last, because, you know, the underlying issue is, you know, the most important thing, which is the mindset. And, you know, that's something that we've really educated ourselves on, especially with our last company that we've both been working with for the last couple of years. That's really what we hone in on and, you know, help our people out with. Because if you can change your way of thought, you change your way of thinking to get, you know, you'll get a different result from, you know, obviously thinking a different way. So, yeah, mindset's huge.
Yeah. Did you want to add to that, Rach?
I don't know. I think the main thing for me with Polynesians and mindset, I think, is just trying to figure out how we can all use it in a positive, you know. It's not like, the way I was raised was always, one thing I've noticed actually with Islanders, because we're so, I don't know, this sounds biased, but we're quite a talented group of people and we excel in sport quite young in age. I think that kind of stops us from ever learning that you have to work hard to make something, because we're always making, you know, making the top teams because we're bigger than other people, we're stronger than other people.
But we're naturally gifted.
Gifted. So I think one thing that switched for me when I got older was realizing that if someone else is going to work harder than me, then they're going to beat me to the spot, you know. So trying to ingrain in our people that we can't just rest on natural ability, and there has to be a point where you actually have to work a bit harder than the person next to you. And that's something that I think Islanders can do quite well if they commit to it.
No, I definitely agree. I believe, you know, because, you know, I agree with you, Daniel, with mindset and how important it is, not just for your fitness goals, but just in life in general, you know. To use fitness as an example, you can get all the programs, nutrition and everything online, you know, with books. You can read it, have it all there. But unless you're in the right mindset, I think that's where a lot of people stumble. Or where do you think, I guess I've got used to here, what do you think is the number one problem why people don't follow through with their fitness goals?
Yeah, so it's actually a really good question to ask, because as health coaches, we went through our own learning journey as well. So early on in our careers, we kind of made the same mistakes that a lot of other health coaches are still making today. And, you know, strategy and, you know, programs and nutrition plans, they all work, you know, 100%. You know, this last time I heard there was 35,000 registered diets that work, you know, paleo, Atkins, you know, you name it, they all work. But why don't people get, you know, results? And it's because they don't haven't, you know, fixed the underlying issue, which is the mindset component. You know, they haven't, you know, they haven't changed their train of thought, because if they've got the same program or they've got the same nutritional plan, why is it that one person gets amazing results and one person doesn't? It's because it all starts up in the head. And, you know, if you can change your train of thought, if you can embody a new belief system towards transforming your mindset, you're going to get a different result. You're not going to, you know, like I said, when we first got in, we kind of just focused on what everyone else was doing, train them, you know, show them how to do weights. You know, might talk to them a bit about nutrition. There was no mindset component when we first hopped in. And, you know, in the last couple of years, really honing in and educating ourselves on that, it's been amazing, not only for ourselves, but the results we've been able to get for our people. You know, it goes to show that it all starts with the right mindset.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. And what was another question that I was going to ask? Oh, yeah, setbacks. So I guess during this journey, that from the first moment you've started this fitness journey up until this point, have there been any sort of major setbacks, whether it be in your business, in your life, in training? And if so, how have you overcome that?
Yeah, cool.
Or just touching on the last topic that Dan said, this is not a massive setback, but I think it's something that we noticed quite heavily was in the first couple of weeks of the program, just a lot of people going all out, like 100%, kind of, it's like what is portrayed in the media, like you go 100% or nothing at all, that kind of thing. And I think Islanders are pretty good at that too, but what we were trying to ingrain quite heavily in them is to make small changes that would last. And I think that took a while for people to kind of grab hold of, because they wanted to, you know, go and eat nothing all day or have two shakes a day and nothing else, because they thought that that's how they could lose weight. But just trying to ingrain in people's mindset that it is small changes, and it's like losing weight is quite simple, but it's not easy. I think those are two separate things. So trying to get them to make small changes was a big thing for the program itself.
Yeah, create more of the lifestyle change rather than the quick fix. Like, we wanted to really separate ourselves from everyone else, because what was noticed with all the people that are doing challenges right now is they'll, you know, people will lose a bit of weight, they'll get a bit of a pat on the back for losing their weight, and what happens when the challenge is over, people go back and put the weight back on.
Yeah.
You know, that's something that, you know, we've fallen into that same trap a couple of years ago as well. Me and Rach combined, we've won 6 weight loss challenges ourselves, 6 weight loss challenge winners. But then you look at the, you know, the weight that people put back on. So our course was all designed around not doing that at all. We want to empower and educate all those people to make sure that they not only get the results with our program, but also keep them long term.
I think the thing is with Islanders too is that if they get a result, then they learn how to teach their family. And if you affect one person, you affect, well, 10 people in their immediate family. So it's not good enough to just say don't eat anything, because we don't want them to teach anyone else that, you know, we want them to teach the proper habits.
Yeah.
No, that's awesome. And it's I've got a question that's just popped up from your answer, and that was based around the video that you made, Daniel, around the environment and the Biggest Loser. That was something, I watched that video twice. Do you mind just sort of sharing just the main points from that? Because I thought it was absolutely awesome. And if you haven't, if you haven't seen the video, jump over on the Polynesia Project page, scroll down, and it's Daniel talks about how important the environment is. But I'll let you sort of touch on that, Daniel, in relation to the Biggest Loser.
Yeah, cool. So when it comes to environment, so when I was talking about people always trying to focus on the wrong thing and how we fell into the trap of, you know, focusing on, you know, nutrition plans and all that kind of stuff, we noticed quite early on that that wasn't actually what got people results. And, you know, when I talked about the Biggest Loser environment on one of my live videos on the Polynesian Project page, pretty much the whole premise behind it all is, you, if you want to transform someone, you know, I guess create a lifestyle change, you need to change the environment. And if you, you know, I guess decipher and dissect, you know, why people get really good results on the Biggest Loser show, the number one reason why I believe they get the results is because they're taken out of their home environment. They're taken out of their work environment. They're also taken out of their social environment. Because if those environments are all stretching your willpower, they're all, you know, trying to, I guess, take you away from your goals, it makes sense to create a new environment that's in service of your goals, you know. And then you look at the Biggest Loser, because if you're taken out of that environment you were in before and you're chucked onto a show where all the people look like you, where all the people talk like you, with all the people have the same problems as you, you know, you're in an environment that's there to help you towards your goals, that's where people get results. Yeah, so that was kind of the whole, yeah, I guess, chat when it came to the environment side of things.
Yeah, no, that's cool, because I wanted to, the reason I brought that up, because I wanted to take that, I guess, add another layer on top of that in relation to environment, because one of the things that I've been sort of teaching, I ran a workshop yesterday with a few aspiring NRL players, and I was talking about creating the environment within first, and that comes down to when people talk about, we talk about mindset, is creating that belief system within here first, and I call that the inner environment. So when you start to create the right inner environment, the external environment really has no bearing, because you're so strong in your values and your beliefs that that you're able to withstand any temptations or anything, especially in fitness goals and stuff like that. So I think a lot of people, that's another reason why I brought it up, why a lot of people, they let the external environment dictate the inner environment. So to use that example of the Biggest Loser, they've gone, they've been in that external environment where they've got the trainers, the nutrition, the equipment. But then when they come back in their home environment, they've let that dictate rather than focusing in on the inner environment first. So that's why I brought that up, because I really wanted to add a layer to that when it comes to the environment. And that's something that I've learned in my trainings and workshops as well. So
Can I just jump in on that? Sorry, let me just get rid of that. Yeah, so just to link, you know, I guess my own journey to what you were just saying. When was that anniversary? Anniversary was a couple of weeks ago, and just live. Our anniversary was a couple of weeks ago, and that marked not only our anniversary, but that was a year sober. You know, it was 1 year sober for me, and it was a massive milestone. And the reason why I guess I wanted to do it, and the reason why I guess I was able to actually do it, was, you know, similar to what you were just saying before about creating that inner environment. You know, and it's great that you said that, bro, because not only did you inspire me to actually want to make a change, but some of the lessons through your book, you know, I really internalized and took it, you know, to heart. And I guess looking back on it now through what you said, I really created that internal environment, you know, thinking about who I really wanted to be as a husband and, you know, wanted to make those changes, which is, you know, when you do it a few times before and it doesn't work, you know, I changed it up. And, you know, thanks, I guess, to your bit of your advice and looking back on it now, it was through that internal, I guess, change through environment, you know, external as well. But, you know, it really resonates to, you know, to what you were just saying.
Yeah, no, that's cool. And look, I wanted to add as well, carrying on from that with the beliefs. And, you know, like I said, I did the workshop yesterday with the young aspiring rugby league players and really just telling them, because, you know, it's great. People tell these young players or anyone that tries to achieve their goals, strive for their dreams, but they don't really tell them some of the reasons why they don't. So with fitness goals, I think it would be the same. You know, people hit that barrier where they say they can't do it. It's too hard. And what I explained yesterday to these young athletes was when you start telling yourself that is the reason, is because it's you're trying to get to a place you've never been before. And it's uncertain, it's uncomfortable. And that's what happens when we do new things, experience new things, try and achieve our goals or strive to pursue our dreams. Mm. Our body tells us, or our brain tells us, that, hey, hold on, hey, stay comfortable, you know, don't go out, don't go there. So when you change your belief system, and it's really as simple as changing it from I can to I can. And I ran this little exercise with them and I told them, I said, look, close your eyes. Think of the hardest training session you've ever done in footy. And they all stood up, closed their eyes, and they were thinking of it. And then I let them do that for about 30 seconds to a minute. And then I said, all right, slowly open your eyes. Now tell me what was going through your mind at the time. And all of them were like, I can't do it. I want to give up. This is too hard. Right? So that's, and then I started to write those down. And then I said, okay, let's do that again. Take yourself back to that place where you're training, tough training, da, da, da. And then I said, now, start to tell yourself what I'm saying in your mind. And then I said, look, I can do this. This is easy. Yeah. And then I just started giving them some empowering beliefs. Then I told them to open their eyes. And then I said, how do you feel? What was going through your mind then? And then they all started listing like, oh, I can get through this. You know, this is going to be easy. Oh, I'm doing this one. Do you know what I mean? So to change that belief system, and then they just saw like a light switch on. And it was great to give them the explanation about why we have those limiting beliefs is when we step outside our comfort zone. And you hear it all the time, you know. If you do what you've always done, you'll get what you've always got. Mm. For fitness, I think it's the same. A lot of these people have never, ever experienced that before, experienced that level of training, experienced, you know, nutrition. So being able to change that belief to, oh, this is hard to, I can do it, I think that's where you start to get that long-lasting effect. And you know my thoughts on you know, a lot of the challenges where, like, the Biggest Loser, you know, it's so short term. But there's a question in here somewhere. With the Polynesian Project, what's the big vision that you have for that? And if you don't mind sort of sharing, you've launched it, and from what I've seen, it's gaining a lot of momentum. We've got our own family members involved in it, and a lot of their friends, and it's so where do you sort of see it heading?
Yeah, cool. So our mission statement, if you don't mind, I'll just explain what our mission statement kind of stands for. And our mission is we want to empower Polynesians with the right tools around education to tackle the obesity within our people, and pave a better future for our generations to come. So, it's kind of a bit of a two-part mission. We really want to lower the obesity rate, because with the amount of gyms, with the amount of resources that are out there, obesity is still on the rise. So we want to create lasting changes through our methods. And then also, we want to pave a better future for our generations to come, because we believe that if we, really help out this generation, it's going to empower the next generation of kids, and that's kind of how you create the ripple effect of change within our Polynesian people. And, with some of the parents that we have on already and the changes that they've made, it really reiterates, why we're doing this, because... Yeah. They've made some awesome changes. They've also made some awesome changes with their kids' lunches and all those kind of things. And, those small changes that they make now, the effect that it's going to have on their kids, imagine what their kids are going to grow up with. Imagine what their kids, and that, the whole purpose of it, and, the bigger picture about it all, is we literally want to lower the obesity rate within our people and change the culture and the standard that, our Polynesian people live by when it comes to their health and fitness, because the way it's going now, if it keeps going the way it's going, it's just going to get worse and worse. And we want to make that change now to create a new pathway.
That's awesome. Rach?
Yeah, I think a good example of that is Dan's sister and my sister-in-law, Adele. She started training with us a couple of years ago, and her son, GK, he's 7 now, so Dan's nephew. She could have, like you said, with limiting belief, she could have found every excuse not to do this because, she wants to give all her time to her son and to her partner and stuff. But she found a way and she got her son involved. And GK is now going to have those kind of lessons ingrained in him so he grows up being healthier. So to us, we might just be helping one person, but in effect, that then helps her family. So, yeah, trying to create a big movement, I think, is the big goal, and I guess we'll figure out how to do that on a bigger scale as it goes on. But just, with the amount of response we had from our last video, it just proves to us that so many people are looking for something. Then listening to all of the, when we called them up, listening to the phone calls and hearing how badly they wanted to change and, the pain that they had felt from being overweight, it's not a disease. It is something that we can cure quite simply. So I think it's really important for us to try and figure out a way to scale it so that we can affect people everywhere and help as many people as we can. And I guess that's what going online has helped us to do, because we can help more people than just the couple of people that are in our immediate vicinity. So,
yeah. And just to add on to what Rachel was saying, Adele and Evelyn, two of our sisters, They started training with us, all those years ago now. And in 1 year, they lost a combined total of around 90 kilos. And then they kept on, they kept those good habits and they kept on losing the weight and all that kind of stuff. And what they were able to do was so inspiring for us as coaches, but more so from a Polynesian perspective was, you know how shy Evelyn is. As soon as she walked into our gym for the very first time, out of her comfort zone, so introverted, so shy, did not speak a word. And as the weight kept coming off, she started becoming the life of the party. And, most of the gym members weren't asking about us anymore. They're asking about our sister. And, it's the things that they were able to receive is what we hope that, we'll be able to reach to more Polynesians so they can get the same benefits that, our sisters got. We're all Polynesians and we all want to make that change. So we just want to make that big impact within our people.
Yeah. Awesome, man. Look, thanks a lot. I guess, I'm really proud of you both, and I think it's great, and you can see the passion and the drive that you both have for helping our people achieve not only their fitness goals, but I think a lot of people don't understand the underlying effect that this is going to have for the rest of their life. And that's why it's so inspiring to see that. Now, I'm sitting here, I'm watching this live video. I'm inspired by you guys. Where do I start? What's the best place for me to start kicking off a fitness goal? You know, and I've never trained before. You know, my eating habits are out the window. And how do I get started?
Cool. I'll let Race answer that one.
Under the bus.
So, Sione, you should.
We'll click on our Facebook page first of all and send us an email. But I think it's, like I said before, it's quite simple. Whereas you just need to get active. And you need to pick a couple of things, like literally start with a couple of habits that you know are stopping you from losing weight, a couple, and implement those this week. Next week, add on another habit. Don't go all out. Don't say, I'm not going to eat any of this food. Don't say that you're not going to go to any family gatherings and eat food because it's not realistic. It's not something you will stick to. Just cut your portions down or pick a couple of things that you can add into your diet. I think you just have to start thinking of it as a lifestyle change, and that's what's going to get you there. Try and get your family involved as well. So if you can take your kids out to the park and play with them this time, or if you can walk with a friend that you haven't caught up with, or, you know, if you're a mum and you're tired and you need some time alone, try and take that time as your me time, not as like a negative time where you have to exercise. Try and...
I guess link it to something
It to something in your life that is... more positive.
Yeah, and just add into that, like if you find it really hard to make those small changes, asking yourself and really auditing, I guess, your readiness to change would be a great place to start, because a lot of people say they want to change, and then, you know, they don't make a change, or they don't want to give up their drinking habits, or they don't want to give up their eating habits. So I guess identifying, you know, how ready you are to change first is going to help you to make those popular changes, because... Yeah, if you can really do that audit and, I guess, reflection on, you know, your willingness to change, then you will actually make a change, you know, rather than just kind of say you're going to go all in and change on Monday and all that kind of stuff with no actual game plan behind it. Just really asking yourself the right types of questions first.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. Because, you know, one thing that I do believe is that change happens in an instant. It really does. But I think that's where a lot of people struggle, is the journey to get to that instant. So, but that's awesome advice. Awesome advice, guys. I think we're going to start to wrap it up a bit. Where can we find out more information about the Polynesian Project?
Yeah, cool. So I think my brother will drop a link down below for the Polynesian Project Facebook page. That's probably the best way, best place to start. Our first intake is already 4 weeks in, so we have a waiting list already for the next one. Click through to our messenger button, send us a DM, and we'll be able to get you guys on for the next one.
Okay, no worries. So I'll put the link with this live video to their Facebook page. And any last sort of pieces of advice from either of you to our listeners? And look, I'll swipe over and see if anyone's got any questions. Okay, thank you, Curly. So look, there's a lot of thumbs up there and stuff. But I guess any last minute, messages that you want to leave with our viewers?
I think if you are someone who is looking for change, then take some time to like sit down and write down your why. Like I think you speak a lot about figuring out your why, and if you know what your why is, you can find out. You can figure out any way to get there. So I think taking that time to sit down and figure out why you want to achieve a certain goal and how it's going to affect the things that are most important to you, like your family, your sport, if it's a sport, do that. And any obstacle that will come in your way, you'll be able to figure out how to overcome. And you'll go out then and then source help, which is where we come in and we can help you out, I guess.
Yeah, cool. Last bit of advice, probably just... if you're someone that's always talked about wanting to make a change, you know, but you might have procrastinated quite a bit, you know, you'll get to a point in your life where it hurts enough. You know, there's two ways you will change. One is, you know, to gain enough pleasure. One is to escape from pain. If you're at that point of pain, pain's a stronger motivator, and you're finally ready to actually make a change, you know, step up and, you know, seek someone. And it might not be us. It might just be going to someone local to you or just someone that you trust, you know, check out what they have to offer and, you know, make a change before it gets a bit too late. You know, there's too many Polynesians out there that wait until it's too late. You know, we all grew up with the stories of hearing, oh, uncle's just had a heart attack, or auntie's, you know, in hospital again, and all that kind of stuff, because, you know, they didn't identify it early enough. Mm. Whereas if you are at that point, or before you even get to that point, just have a quick think, you know, have a little quick self audit, you know, what do I need to make a change? And, you know, just take action and do it, because that's the easy part. You know, once you start getting going, you know, you start making those changes, it becomes, you know, repetitive. It becomes, you know, you become addicted to actually making those changes, and you'll keep following through. But initially, yeah, you just got to take action and make that first step and get going.
Yeah. Awesome. Love it. Love it, guys. Great piece of advice. And I just want to say a massive congrats to Daniel and Rachel on what's an awesome initiative, inspiring. And I look forward to hearing all the results with the first intake in the next, I guess they've got 4 more weeks left. It's going to be awesome. And I can't wait to see it. And all the best, and looking forward to seeing you guys kick bigger and better goals.
Awesome. All right, guys. Thanks. Yeah, thanks, bro.
Go on. Thanks, guys. See you later. Thanks.
See ya.
Success is becoming the person that you need to be in order to achieve your goals and dreams. Thank you so much for tuning in and listening to Success Story Conversations. If you got value out of today's podcast, please subscribe, leave a review, take a screenshot, and send it through to me via Instagram, Facebook, or even on Twitter. We'd love to start a conversation. I trust that you have had an awesome experience, and look forward to having you join me again next week for more Success Story Conversations. I'm your host, Sione Famuina, signing out.